Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 62, 5 through 8. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
If any of you were wondering about Linda, she has not had a setback in her surgery. She just got a call from her oldest son and said, it's been 3 months since you've seen the grandkids. So she packed up and went to Conroe. She should be back this evening or this afternoon. I'm not sure which. Also, I thank Keith for welcoming our visitors. We do, fortunately, have visitors with us today. We want you to know you are our honored guest, and we would be honored if you would join us for lunch in the other building behind this one immediately after the services today. I was asked before the services, actually by one of our visitors, if I was going to preach a 5-minute sermon. I assured him I would think about it, but probably not, though I do not preach long sermons. But he said, one congregation where he was, they said, you can preach as long as you want to, but at lunchtime we're going home. So it probably won't be that way today. You know, we live in a world of acronyms, you know, the letters that represent all of those words. We live in a world of that. If you don't know the acronym, you really don't know what's being talked about. I'm just now learning what LOL means, and yet we've gone far, far past that. In the legal system, there are a lot of acronyms. You need to find out what the acronym means to find out what charge you're being charged with. In the medical profession, the medication, and also the various diseases, you have to know the acronym in order to know what you're talking about. Even in sports, we don't call them a quarterback anymore. They're the QB. So you have to know the acronyms. But there are some phrases at which we immediately know what the person's talking about. For instance, if you hear someone talk about either springing forward or falling backward, you know they're talking about daylight savings time. Today, the first day of daylight savings time. Well, daylight savings time only comes twice a year, obviously once in the spring, once in the fall. One of those days is very, very appreciated. One of them is not appreciated at all. We appreciate falling back because it's nice to be able to catch up on that hour of sleep. But if you're like me, I generally end up staying up an hour later knowing I'm going to get that extra hour of sleep, and then my mental clock is set so I wake up an hour earlier than the alarm goes off. But we like the idea of resting our body for an extra hour. We don't like having to lose an hour of sleep. You know, just for coincidence, I Googled the most appreciated non-holiday day of the year, and it gave me the most appreciated and the least appreciated. The most appreciated day, non-holiday in the year, is a birthday. That's pretty obvious. But the second most appreciated day was the day we fall back and get that extra hour of sleep. I also read the least appreciated. The losing an hour of sleep was the second most. The least appreciated day in the calendar, non-holiday, is April the 15th. I see us older people are laughing. The younger people don't know what we're talking about. Anyway. Gaining an hour of sleep can be a real blessing. But the question I want to ask in this lesson is there a way that we could fall back and still receive a blessing from Jesus? Think about it. Is there anything that we might do falling back and still receive a blessing from Jesus? Clint read our text a moment ago from Psalm 62. We'll get to that toward the end of the lesson. But our first reading is going to come from Matthew 28. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. One of the more familiar passages in all of our life. Let me say a few things as we introduce this class, introduce this text. Brethren, we realize that in 21st century America, it's like running 90 to nothing. If we don't hold on with both hands, we're going to find ourselves broken down on the side of the road. You talk about burning the candle at both ends. We burn it at both ends. We cut it in half and we burn it in the middle as well. That's just the way society is. We are in a fast-paced, hurry up world, and brethren, we need to be ready for that. And it seems that there's always something that's going on. In fact, more than one something that's going on. And we get competition because of that for our church attendance and so forth. Now, an extra hour of sleep is good, but what Jesus offers in Matthew chapter 11 is far, far superior. You probably know it even without looking at it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest under your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Brethren, do you get the same message that I do? Jesus is offering to give us rest. He's offering us to fall back on him, poetically speaking, to fall back into his loving arms. You remember a few years ago, there was a Nest Tea commercial. And there were several renditions. The one I remember was about a fence builder. I was hoping Matthew Hahn would be here today. I was going to point it out to him. There was a fence builder. He was out in the plain and he was building this fence, pulling that wire, and he was hot and sweaty, and he took off his cowboy hat and got his kerchief and he daubed his face, and then he picked up a can of Nest Tea and he opened it and he took a big swig and he fell back, and fortunately, in his mind at least, there was a clean, clear swimming pool right behind him. It was called the Nest Tea Plunge, and brethren, admittedly, it did look real refreshing. But Jesus offers us a different kind of plunge. He offers us something that we cannot find anywhere else. He offers us something that no one else can offer, to fall back on him, to come to him to rest from our weariness. Now, using that thought process, let's see if we can come up with a few other concepts, applications that we could use this wording. For instance, I believe that Jesus wants us to come back to his word. Using our wording, to fall back into the word. Now, some of you might say, well, I own a Bible. I own several Bibles. I have one on my living room table. That's how much I appreciate that Bible. And I do read it from time to time. And when the preacher preaches, I listen to the scripture that's being read. And when the scripture reading is made, I listen to the scripture. So how can I fall back into God's word when I'm already there? Brethren, I'm not talking about that casualness of the scripture. I'm talking about meditating on God's word to the point that God's word will touch our hearts. I'm not talking about somebody sitting on our shoulder whispering in our ear. I'm talking about getting into God's word and letting God's word speak to us. One of my favorite scriptures from the pen of David. He says, this one thing I do, I want to meditate on God's word. That word meditate comes from a similar word, digest. We digest food. We meditate on God's word. Food sends nourishment to our body. Meditation on God's word sends nourishment to our soul. That's what David sought after, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to dwell in his tabernacle. James says in James 1, 22 through 25, I like the way the NIV begins this. The NIV says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We continue in the King James, where if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man that beholds his image in a glass or in a mirror, and he beholds himself, and then he goes away and he steadfastly forgets what he looks like. James says if we look into God's word, if we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, we won't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and that man is blessed in his deed. Jesus wants us to come to him. He wants us to fall back into him, fall back into his word. He will give us rest. We will be refreshed, but we need to take advantage of what he offers. Now, brethren, let's get personal for a second. Most of us live in Texas right now. Some of you might be from out of state. We all live in America right now. All of us are Americans. We're alive right now, 21st century, 2017, America. Rather than for a Christian, this is a difficult time. For a Christian, this is a very discouraging, despondent time. We try to present God's love into a world that's filled with hate. We try to promote trust, and the world is interested in lust. We try to promote Christ and the Christian lifestyle, and the world ridicules us for it. Jesus is saying, when times are tough, when you get tired of fighting these daily struggles, I'll be there for you. I'll give you rest and refreshment. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. And Jesus is there. Poetically speaking, it's like we can just fall back into his loving arms. James tells us that we need not only to listen to the word, we need to apply what the word says. You know, I could talk to us parents. You know what it's like to tell children to do something, and then later you tell them again, and later you tell them again. It amazes me, though, when those children are adults, they deny that ever happened. And they tell their children, you need to do this. They tell them again, again, again. That's contrary to the teaching of the Bible. In fact, in the passage that Clint read a moment ago, David was saying in Psalm 62, I need to go to God for comfort. I need to go to God for assurance. I need to do what he tells me to do. Just let me read two verses again. The first verse that was read, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. And then verse 8, I'm not sure if that was read, trust in God at all times. Trust in God at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for he is our refuge. If I were running from the enemy and I could reach a city of refuge, I knew I would be safe. If I could get inside that those walls, I know I would be safe. That's what David is saying. God will be our refuge, and then we can rest. But we need to come to Jesus. We need to fall back into his arms, fall back into God's word. Using that wording, we also need to fall back into God's guidance. You know, over the years, I'm sure all of us have seen individuals that were regular in their attendance. They appeared to know what the Bible was saying, but because of their involvement with things, maybe the world, maybe friends, maybe recreation or occupation, they seemed to get confused. They got their priorities out of place. They became lost in all of that. Rather than the world wants to misdirect us, Satan wants to lead us to the wrong path. He wants us to keep on that wrong path. Isaiah 30 verse 21. Try to remember this verse the rest of your life. Isaiah is talking to God's people. He says, whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, he's not talking about a literal voice, but he said, you can hear the voice of God saying, this is the right way. Stay on it. It's like what Jesus said in John 14, I am the right way, the truth, and the life. Much like what John wrote about in 1 John chapter 1, he said, if we walk in the light, if we stay in the light, that's the right way. Then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, God is in control. But we need to just fall back on Him. Fall back on His word. Fall back on His love. Fall back on His guidance. Otherwise, we're going to become our own worst enemy. I remember a number of years ago, there was a bumper sticker. It was very popular. I thought at the time, if I had not been so opposed to putting bumper stickers on my car, I wanted to get one of these. It said, God is my co-pilot. And I thought, you know, that's a wonderful idea. God is my co-pilot. But then I realized as I matured, I don't want God to be my co-pilot. I want Him to be my pilot. I want Him to be in charge of my life. In the Old Testament, one of the most beautiful stories, though it has a very sad beginning, is the story of Ruth. Ruth's husband died, and her mother-in-law, Naomi, was trying to encourage Ruth to go back to her own people, the Moabites, and then live with them. But Ruth's statement to her mother-in-law needs to be a statement that we make today. Ruth was saying to Naomi, we need to say to God, where God is, that's where we need to be. Where He leads, that's where we need to follow. God's people need to be our people. His call is to go with Him, to fall back on Him, to come to Jesus. And brethren, that's what we have to do. Because Jesus said, a verse we even talked about today, some things are impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. If we look to man or mankind, or if we look to the world to find comfort, we're going to be looking in the wrong place. And we know too many people that have looked for this comfort and found just the opposite. Jesus alone can give us that comfort. I found an illustration that I wanted to use, and then I studied it a little bit, and I decided I'm not sure if I want to use that illustration or not, but now I realize it really makes the point I'm trying to make. I wish Krista was here. She's from Canada. This story took place in Canada. They were having a lumberjack contest. And so the people of this town were to sign up if they wanted to do the log roll or whatever they wanted to do, they had to sign up. There was one particular contest that only two people signed up for. That's how difficult it was. From daylight to dark, they were to chop wood. From daylight to dark, they were to chop wood. And whoever had chopped the most wood at the end of the day would be declared the winner. So they began to chop, 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 chop. This one man looked over at his opponent. He had stopped, was sitting down, drinking a glass of water. But he kept chopping, chop, chop, chop. Looked over there a little while later, he was sitting down having a sandwich. He kept chop, chop, chop. Went on like this all day. At the end of the day, that man had chopped a whole lot more wood than this one. And he said, I just don't understand. Every time I looked up, you were resting. And the man said, what you didn't notice is, while I was resting, I was also sharpening my axe. Brethren, Jesus never said, rest. He said, I'll give you rest when you continue doing the things that I want you to do. Don't stop trying. Don't stop working. Don't stop following Jesus. Then He will give us that rest. Now, perhaps today there are some here who have never rendered obedience to what we call the primary principles of the gospel. I refer to them as such because they are primary principles. They are the answers to the question, what do we have to do in order to be saved? Now, we can find the answers from the lips of Jesus, which was before Acts chapter 2. We can also find the answers from the pen of the inspired penman, which were after Acts chapter 2. This is what the Bible says. We need to hear the truth. We need to hear the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what Peter and the other apostles preached. That's what Jesus told them to preach. Once we hear it, then you and I have the, I guess I'll use the word privilege, to decide if we want to believe it or not. A lot of people hear the gospel message but never believe it. For them, that's the end of the story. But if we do hear the message and if we do believe it, there are some other steps that we need to take. For instance, we need to turn away from everything that stands between us and service to Jesus. It's not that once we have come to Him and accepted Him based on our faith that we never have to do anything, because we do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. But we have to hear about Him, believe in Him, and then turn away from everything that stands between us and Him. Jesus and the inspired penman call that repentance. And then we need to make a confession of our faith. There are two verses I want to make mention. Matthew 10, verse 32. Jesus says, but whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Now, admittedly, he's talking about a lifestyle. But Paul in Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, for with the heart we believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Like the confession Peter made, the confession that the Ethiopian nobleman made, that Jesus is the Son of God. And then we have to start over. Jesus and the inspired penman call that baptism. Very briefly, stay with me. When Jesus was teaching and gave the Great Commission, He told the disciples to teach them and to baptize those who believed His teaching. Peter was in the audience. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, Peter was the primary speaker. He no doubt heard and remembered what Jesus said. Because when he was asked about salvation, he gave one answer: repent and be baptized, every one of you. A few years later, Peter was called by God in a vision to go to the household of Cornelius. At a certain point in that story, he commanded them to be baptized. Why would he do that? Because he remembered what Jesus said all along. He remembered what he was guided to say in Acts chapter 2. And then even later in Peter's life, he wrote the like figure, just like Noah and those who were saved with Noah had to be in the ark, we have to be in Jesus, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. You know, over the generations, it's almost been used as a slur against those of us in the churches of Christ. You teach salvation by baptism only. Not at all. But we do teach that baptism, just like faithful obedience, just like purity of heart, just like all the other things Jesus taught, are essential to one salvation. And so Jesus invites today for anyone to come to Him, not to stop working, but to start working, and Jesus will give us the rest that we need. So if anyone, for baptism or for any other reason, needs to respond, the number is 389. We'll sing all three verses. If you need to come, won't you come as we stand and sing?